Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize with the Mission Guys. Clint and I are on location for these next couple of podcasts at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention Pastors Conference and annual meeting at Geyer Springs First Baptist Church in Little Rock. And we have a very special guest today. This is somebody who is not a stranger to Arkansas Baptist, one of our most beloved pastors who comes to Evangelism Conference annual meeting, just gives us a wealth of knowledge each time that he speaks. We love Fred Luter. Fred is with us today, and Dr. Luter, we are so grateful for your leadership at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church there in New Orleans,
yes, sir.
Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
And so grateful for the relationship we have with you as Arkansas Baptist. And we welcome you to Arkansas and the Pastors Conference. You're going to be speaking a little later on this evening.
That's correct.
And we are looking forward to what God is going to say through you to us.
Thank you.
Welcome to Missionize.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Clint. Man, it's an absolute honor and joy to be here with the Missionize, with the Mission Guys, man. This is pretty neat, man. And I know y'all can't see here, but I got a really nice coffee cup with their pictures on it, man. And this is really, really neat. But I'm honored to be here, man. I was supposed to be here in January for the Evangelism Conference, but the weather didn't permit. I think I was snowing here, and my flight was canceled out of New Orleans to get here. So I'm honored to be back at the Pastors Conference and honored to be a part of this podcast.
Well, thank you, sir. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you here.
The honor is mine, sir.
Clint, Dr. Luter has been one of those guys in my life that I have always looked up to as a model for ministry, pastoral ministry. Just incredible example of what it means to love your community.
Amen.
And love your church. And those are the types of men that as pastors we need to surround ourselves with.
Amen.
We need those men in our lives.
That's right.
Who will teach us the importance of, yes, from the love we have for God to love our church and love our community with all our heart. And this is a perfect example of that.
That's Praise right. the Lord. Thank yeah. you, Sam. I appreciate that. Check is in the mail, my brother.
Yeah. And I say not just to do that, but to do it with the tenure in which you've had, yeah. Dr. Luter. So how many years are you now at Franklin Avenue?
Clint, this past Sunday, I celebrated my 38-year anniversary.
38 wow.
30,
years.
Only church I've ever pastored.
How about that?
38 years.
So it is possible.
It is possible.
To spend your entire lifetime at one church.
It is possible. 38
and
years.
And love that church and love that community
yes.
with all your heart.
No doubt.
Do you
about
find
it.
Yourself loving the church and the community even more now?
Even more, because of the relationships I've developed through the years. Matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I had the honor of christening a baby of a mom who I christened 30 years ago.
How
and she
that?
Was a baby. And her mom and dad brought me the picture and said, this was her when she was a baby and you christened her.
Wow.
Now I'm 30 years later, and now I'm christening the baby of that baby that I kissed 30 years ago. So it's a great joy. It's a
that,
great
that
joy.
Is a great joy. It pastoring is. A long tenure.
Yes,
I had 17 years at Stuttgart, the last church that I pastored,
wow.
and was able to see some of that.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing, but such a joy and such a role model you provided.
Thank you
again
sir.
For that.
That means a lot.
Dr. Luter has also served as past president of Southern
yes.
Baptist Convention.
2012 to 2014. And the great thing about that, it happened in the city that I grew up in. I was elected as SBC president in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
I was
there that year.
Yep.
I think Clint was there that
I was.
Year. We celebrated that together. And then, just recently, just a couple of years ago,
yes.
New Orleans Baptist Theological
yeah.
Seminary
man, y'all know all the
honored
history,
you as well. We know the history, man. Like I said, I follow you, brother. Though I'm an old guy, I follow you, man.
It was such an honor, man.
Tell us about that. Let folks know.
You know, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary is a school I love, a school I attended. Three years ago, they came and president of the Dr. Jamie Dew told me they wanted to meet with me, and the trustees and an anonymous donor, I don't know to this day who that person is, some anonymous donor gave the seminary millions of dollars to renovate the student center. And from what I'm told, when you contribute that much amount of money to a school, you get naming rights. And whoever this person is, say, I like to name it after Fred Luter. And of course, they had to pass it through the trustees, and they gave the approval. So the last day that the SBC was in New Orleans in 2022, that the at the end of the convention, we all met at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary for the unveiling of the Fred Luter Jr. Student Center. Over 4,000 people showed up, man, and had char grill artists, beignets from Cafe Du Monde, man. Just had a great night, man. And so it's a blessing and a curse to have your name on a building while you're living, because every time I'm driving in New Orleans, my wife would say, all right, slow down. You know, your name is on the builders. Oh, Lord.
I don't know who that person was either, but I can tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't me, because I don't have those millions to give. But if I had those millions,
go ahead,
I would have said, let's name that after
Such
Fred Luter.
Such a great honor. It really is. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Now, Dr. Luter, Missionized is a podcast that Clint and I thought of several years ago, and we're completing our first year of Missionize, and just grateful for those who take the time of their schedule and listen in and follow along with what we share in terms of the mission of the church.
Amen.
And the Great Commission. Now, you have pastored a long time. Clint
yes.
and I both have pastored a long time, not the length of time at one church as you have. But both have been long-term pastors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you pastor long enough,
yes.
what we discover is that there's going to be a crisis that
yes.
you will have to lead the church through.
Yes.
And if you have that lengthy tenure as you have, you're probably going to experience several of those crises in the length of that time. And I'm not talking about a debate over the color of carpet when you renovate a building, or
have those debates.
but a crisis that really impacts the yes. church and the community and perhaps even the nation and the world.
Yes.
Now, would you remind our listeners of what happened August the 29th, 2005?
Sam, it was the most difficult time in my life as a Christian, as a pastor. I grew up in New Orleans, so we have hurricane season every year. So I'm used to hurricanes. And normally when you evacuate, when it's going to be that bad, the weather people will tell you, or city mayor will tell you, evacuate. And when you evacuate, you're normally gone 2 days, come back. You may not have electricity. There may be debris in the street and things like that, but at least you're home. Well, this time we evacuated the year before Katrina in 2004. My wife and I evacuated again, and we went to Dallas, Texas, because our son was in school at Dallas Baptist University, DBU. Well, next year in 2005, when the hurricane came again and we were told to evacuate, we evacuated to Birmingham, Alabama. Our daughter was in school at Samford University in Birmingham. And so everything was good. Everything was normal. We was looking at the TV, and then all of a sudden, we look and see the levees break. And 80% of our city was underwater. The home I grew up in, the church I attended, the New Orleans Seminary School I attended, the people were boarded on boats, helped on helicopters, rescued off of rooftops. Thousands of people died as a result of the flood, and it was the most difficult time in my life. I'm sitting in front of that TV, Clint and Sam, and I'm crying like a baby, because I just cannot believe something like this is happening in America. And it was a real difficult time. And I was sharing with folks since that time, I was angry with God. I was angry with our president. I was angry with our governor. I was angry with our mayor because I could not understand how something like this could happen in the city of New Orleans. And the thing that really messed me up was that 80% of the city was flooded, but Bourbon Street, where there's satanic churches, there's satanic rituals, there are people who confess to be Satan followers, Bourbon Street was high and dry. Bourbon Street did not flood at all. And that, guys, that messed me up. And it brought me to a very low point in my walk with God. I was literally depressed because of that. And if it wasn't for a godly wife, my wife Elizabeth, who started calling pastor friends of mine from around the country and say, yeah, guys, I've never seen Fred like this. He's always upbeat. He's always jovial, always smiling. But he's in a depression. And so pastor friends of mine from across the country started calling and encouraging me. And one of the guys invited me to come preach for him. I said, man, I don't have any clothes. I say, because normally when you evacuate, you got 2 days of clothes. And that's it. And he said, I said, man, I don't have any clothes. It was just my excuse of saying, I don't want to do it. But he said, no, come on, and we'll buy you some more clothes and things like that. And he did. As soon as I got, he got me an airplane ticket, man, and flew me to his church. As soon as I got off the flight, he brought me to the clothing store, bought me a suit, tie, and shirt, man. And I preached in that thing for months after I got it. And that helped. Other guys helped and to get me out of that situation because it was the most toughest time in my life.
And that's such a good word for right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking where we are today, yeah. Dr. Luter. And, of course, we had scheduled this back in January to have
yes,
this conversation.
Yes, we did.
But, you know, you see the providential hand of God in all things that happen.
Yes.
And maybe even in this, with the rescheduling of this particular episode, because, yes. you know, we have just experienced in the southern part of our state.
Yes.
Hurricane Helene tore through 7 states.
Yep.
A lot of damage that was caused, not so much by the hurricane at the coast,
yes,
but the wind and damage. The rain
yes.
that came in the mountains in North Carolina and Tennessee that caused massive flooding.
So sad.
And so what I do believe that that this may be able to offer some help, some healing.
Amen.
As we go through our time together.
Yeah,
for
it's
those who
it's
are
difficult,
that.
It's tough because you don't expect it to happen. I know we didn't expect it to happen. And one of the things that has helped me through that situation with Katrina, I now can go back and share with pastors and churches. It's tough now, but I promise you, you'll get through it.
Amen.
You'll get through
Amen.
It.
Awesome.
Yes.
And speaking of getting through it, you know, of course, a lot of folks relocated.
Yes.
From New Orleans after that time.
Yes.
You know, you saw a drastic change in your church.
Yes.
But yet you stayed. We talked about the lengthy tenure. What kept you there when so many were relocated?
Clint, that's a great, great question because there were pastors who relocated and never came back. And my wife and I, we're in Birmingham, Alabama. My wife was not thrilled about coming back. She heard all about all the debt. She's a pharmacist and the mold and the people getting sick and dying, and she did not want to go back. But I got a phone call from the mayor of the city of New Orleans and said, Pastor Luter, we need you to come back. So you're one of our city leaders. I said, she says, a lot of people are not coming back, and if they see some leaders coming back, they will think about coming back. And so I talked to my wife about it, and I said, baby, let's give it 3 years. I said, if it don't work, I'll come and move anywhere you want to move at. And that was the first motivation for me moving back. But the second motivation was that I needed to get this church going again. Clint, Sam, this church gave me a chance to pastor. I was a street preacher. And no, that's why I preach so fast. I'm a street brother, preach on the street corner. And it was 65 members. Franklin Avenue Baptist Mission Church. 65 members. They were going through some difficult times. They've gone through really tough times. Matter of fact, the church is in such bad shape that the director of missions, when I met with him, told me, son, You're not our first church to pastor this church. You never pastored it before. We feel we need a pastor who's experienced. He said, this is your assignment. You need to go resurrect this church or we're going to bury it. Mm-hmm. You told mm-hmm. I said, whoa. And I say, sir, I say, I know I'm born and raised in New Orleans. I know we like jazz funerals, but I'm no mood for a funeral. And so I say, and by God's grace, those I went back because these 65 members gave me a chance to pastor them when they could have chosen somebody else. So I felt that I owed it to the city and I owed it to that congregation to come back. And I'm glad I did.
Amen.
Glad I
now,
did.
Dr. Luter, would it be fair to say that Franklin Avenue is a drastically different church than it today than it was pre-Katrina?
Very safe to say that. Yes, indeed.
And how did you keep the mission of the church alive and vibrant during Katrina and as the church was re-emerging post-Katrina?
One of the things that Katrina did for us as a congregation is to make us realize you cannot take the favor of God for granted. You cannot take the grace of God for granted. You cannot take the mercy of God for granted. God had blessed Franklin Avenue, man. We were exploding by the scenes. We had three Sunday morning services, 7:30, 10:30, and 12:30 every Sunday. People were coming from all across the city. And when Katrina hit, it just really shattered everything. We had to pretty much start from scratch. And we wanted to understand that when God gets you through something, you cannot take that lightly. And so what made us want to come back was we didn't want to take the blessings of God for granted. Mm-hmm. We became a new church because of the fact that our mentality was now changed because we were scattered. I tell people all the time, we before Katrina, we were church gathered, but after Katrina, we were church scattered. And we lost over 4,000 people all across the country. But what Katrina did for us, it made us realize we needed to double down and really not only talk our mission statement, but walk our mission statement, which was to exalt the Savior, equip the saints, and evangelize the sinner. And so we used to say it just in words before, but after Katrina, it was action, bro.
Amen.
Because of what we have went through. Mm. So that's what
caused
us
word.
To do it.
That's a good word, and I know that will be a word that listeners to this podcast are going to take with them.
Amen.
Because, you know, mark it down, guys. There's going to come a time
that
you are going to face a crisis in your ministry.
Yes.
If you haven't already.
Yes.
That's one of those lessons I've learned over and over again.
Amen.
In 35 years of pastoring.
Amen.
That I think it was Kerry Newhoff, Clint, that said about every 7 to 10 years, you could expect a major crisis as you're pastoring.
Yes.
And I went back after I listened to that several years ago, and you know, I could just name them.
Isn't that amazing?
You know,
isn't
just
amazing?
Name them.
Yes.
And not just a little problem, but this was something that affected the United States.
Yes.
Or the whole world.
Yes.
You know, and you have to lead through that.
Lead through
and
it.
You have done an incredible job
Thank
leading
you,
through
Sam.
That, my
I
friend.
Appreciate that. Thank
an
you.
Incredible
sir.
Job.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little more about the crisis.
Okay.
You know, when the crisis strikes, some people look at it as a problem. Others understand that a crisis produces opportunities.
Yeah.
And one of the notes Dr. Sam has here is that the mission is too important to allow a crisis to kill it.
Yes.
And so those who understand that a crisis produces opportunities also understand that mission is too important to allow the crisis to kill it. And so they're pressing through and trying to discover what next steps are. How do they respond? Yes, but how do they lead forward? So as you think about Katrina, what new opportunities for mission did Katrina produce? And how did you lead the church to embrace those opportunities?
That's a great question. And I can just, again, my mind just goes back. Pre-Katrina, it was difficult getting people excited about doing missions. Of course, you had your faithful few who always wanted, but you could not get as many as I thought we could with the church the size we had to get involved in missions. But after Katrina, man, people were signing up left and right because of the fact people came from all across the country to help us get back up on our feet. We had college groups that forbid going to beaches for their college break to come to New Orleans to gut out houses, to help rebuild houses and things like that. And we had a church from out of Tennessee. Every summer, they brought like over 60, 70 young people to help families to rebuild. And our congregation sat back and looked at this and said, wow, people come from all over the country just to help us out in New Orleans. And so it invigorated us to say that if people did that for us, we have no excuse that we can't do it. So Amen. Never had another opportunity getting people involved in missions because Amen. They saw how people helped us. And it was our responsibility now that we're on our feet to get back and give us. Like Jesus told Simon Peter, once you've been converted, go back and help your brother. And that's
Amen.
And that was the benefit of that. People were excited about helping others because of what people did for us.
Amen. Now, also with when you lead through a crisis, we learn, and you already shared some of this, Dr. Luter, we learn a lot about God.
Yes.
We learn a lot about the church. And
yes.
As leaders, we learn a lot about ourselves.
Yes, we do.
So what's the most important lesson that you would say you learned during that particular crisis?
I guess the most important lesson that I learned through that, because keep in mind, you know, our church was booming, man. We were growing.
Oh, sure.
The Lord was really, really blessing. But the thing that really just really affected that, you learned that in this Christian life, on this Christian journey, from time to time, your faith will be tested. Mm. On this journey. Yeah, and it was going so well. And, of course, we have the normal things that churches go through. But to be displaced from your city, your state, your home, it affected our faith. And so that's what I learned. Well, you cannot take the fact that things are going to always go well. Your faith will eventually be tested. And this tested our faith more than anything else that ever affected it. So, and that's when you really find out, do you really trust in God like you say you do? A lot mm-hmm. of people say they have faith. A lot of people talk about faith. A lot of people preach about faith, sing about faith. But man, every now and then I've discovered, particularly since this, your faith will be tested. And you have to really decide, do I really trust God like I say I do? And that's the main thing from there. That experience with Katrina really tested our faith to see if this is something we really trusted and believed in. Because there's a lot of churches that didn't come back at all.
Right.
A lot of pastors didn't come back at all. But you have to have the faith and the trust and the confidence that, as the saying goes, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I figure the answer to this next question you may have just given, but to a pastor that is listening, that's facing a crisis right now that feels like, man, I don't know that I can survive this or that the church will survive or my ministry will survive. What words of encouragement would you give to those guys?
Clint, I thought about this from time to time when I'm interviewed, when I'm brought to conferences or pastors' conferences, and the question similar to that is asked. And my answer would be that no matter, particularly to younger preachers, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how rough it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, you gotta understand that you have to stand on the promises of God.
Amen.
Not things you mm-hmm. can just, don't just read them, don't just quote them, don't just write about, don't just say, there are times you have to stand on the promises of God. So if I can look in the eyes of every young pastor across this country, every pastor that listens to this podcast, to let them know that the enemy will do all he can to rob you of your faith, your trust, and your confidence in God. But that's the time you got to be like Job and say, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but this one thing I do know. I do know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand. I shall stand alone. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but this one I do know. Naked I came into this world, naked I'm going out. The Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
This too shall pass. And so you got to stand on the promises of God. God always has the last words. You got to have those scriptures near and dear to your heart that you can stand on in difficult time. Like Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 26 and 3, I'll keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because they trust in the Lord. Romans 8:28.
Come on.
Not that we guess. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, them are called according to his purpose. And one I quote often, Psalms 37:25, where David said, I have been young, but now I'm old. I used to quote that, Sam, but now I'm living it, bro.
Living it, my
but
friend.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So in the midst of all the difficult time, you got to stand on the promises of God. Not just let them be words in your head, let them be in your heart, and they'll get you through whatever you're going through.
What an incredible word. Thank you, Dr. Luther.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Clint.
Now, we have one last segment we want to walk through with you.
Okay.
And this... you know, folks have followed you, and Arkansas Baptists love you. And we have a few listeners who are outside of Arkansas.
All right.
But those in Arkansas, I know Dr. Luter and follow you and look forward to opportunities we have to sit under your teaching from God's Word.
Amen.
But we want to get to know you in a little more personal way.
Okay.
So we have some rapid-fire questions.
Oh, Lord, here we go. Here
Clint's
we go.
Going to throw at you. and just short answers to these. And I think some of these would help some of our pastor friends and church leaders who may venture to New Orleans one day.
All right.
So listen up to the answers that he gives,
all right.
Okay?
I tell you, before we do that, it seems like there needs to be, everybody should pause listening and sing the hymn, Standing on the Promises. That's what's on my mind now.
That's incredible.
When he first said it. So
yes,
thank you for
indeed.
Sharing that with us,
no
Dr. Luter.
Man. Thank y'all for the opportunity.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Drum roll.
That's right. Favorite meal?
I love fried shrimp. I love fried shrimp. I can eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm. All right. Favorite restaurant?
Whoa. There are two that, particularly if you want to do a seafood, there's Drago's and there's Acme House. And the reason I love going there, they serve this thing called char grilled oysters. Sam, you know about char grilled oysters?
Yes, sir. I know about Drago's.
My wife and
I visited there when we were at the convention
last time. I'm not an oyster eater. I don't like oysters, but they put these open shells oysters over a grill, and they put butter, they put a garlic sauce and cheese on it. Oh, make you want to slap somebody.
So
Drago's
good.
Or Acme House, can't go wrong.
All right. Where's your go-to relaxation spot?
Oh, wow. My go-to relaxation spot, honestly, is in my backyard, on my patio.
I got a
fence around my house, man, and I can just go there and just chill out, man. And because that's not a lot of places I could go in New Orleans that people don't know me. And so when I'm going to peak, they're always coming up to me. And I love people, but there's just time you just want to just be by yourself.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So in the city, it's got to be in my backyard patio with the fence around and just me and the Lord, or me just relaxing and sleeping.
Besides the Bible, what's your favorite book?
Oh, wow. There's so many that that I've read through the years that I guess it would be David Jeremiah. He's one of my favorite authors about how to deal with the giants in your life. Mm. That book has helped me out tremendously.
Yeah, wow. Favorite genre of music?
Man, I'm pastor of a predominantly African American church, and we just love gospel choir music.
Yeah.
You come to the church that I pastor, you're gonna hear gospel choir music, man. It's like Brooklyn Tab, just a little bit of flavor mixed into it. Yes.
First concert you attended?
Oh, Michael Jackson and the Jackson Five.
When I was a kid,
in this auditorium, I would never forget long as I live, man. The Jackson Five came to New Orleans for the Municipal Auditorium, and their opening act was the Commodores with Lionel Richie, man. And I remember that concert till this day. I can sing a few of those songs for you, but I'm not good at singing. But that was my first concert, Jackson Five.
Favorite place to visit?
Oh, my wife and I love Hawaii. We love going to Hawaii. Matter of fact, right after the 2 years that I served as president, and that was the time I was traveling every week, going places somewhere. And I promised my wife, I say, I know you've been on this journey for 2 years, but someplace you want to go. And without even thinking about it, she said Hawaii. So we've been there about 5 times. We love Hawaii.
Wow. Favorite sport?
I love football. Who that? Talk about beating them Saints.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. I love football. Is my favorite sport for just been enjoying it for you. Our team is not playing that good right now, but football is my favorite sport.
I'll throw it out there. Favorite team. Have you just told us that, or is there?
It's the New Orleans Saints, no doubt, of my professional team. My favorite college team, I don't know if I should say that, is LSU.
Well, and it's time to wrap up.
time to close this one down. It was a pleasure to have known you, Dr. Luger.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Y'all asked. And it happened to be the weekend that we beat the Arkansas. But that's my favorite college team.
Well, and you're proof that there is such a thing, then, as a sanctified LSU fan.
That's good, Clint.
Well, thank you for joining us.
This was fun, man. Honored to do it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Luger.
Thank you, sir.
On behalf of Arkansas Baptist pastors, we are so grateful for your investment in our lives. Keep fighting the good fight, my friend.
I will.
Keep living that faith. Because you've got folks watching you.
Yes.
And you have served as an incredible role model
to
many of us in ministry.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor to be on your podcast. Pastors, hang in there. It's worth the fight.
And with that, we'll wrap up this episode. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas Missions, visit absc.org/missions.